Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. We're honored that you're worshiping here with us today. And if you're visiting for the first time, we are pleased that you're with us. Are there any announcements this morning? I do urge you to look through the bulletin. We put announcements in there every week. I just realized nobody's here to help light the candles. Thank you. We'll go ahead and while we wait for somebody to help us out, we'll go ahead and go to our prayer requests and praise reports. Are there any prayer requests or praise reports this morning? Safe travel. Yes, ma'am. Any others?
Is this an announcement?
It's both. We didn't have any, so we went to prayer requests, but yes.
If you'll notice that the bulletin, I think, starting Sunday, since everybody's getting their Christmas decoration now and doing all that, as you go through and there's stuff that you don't want anymore, we're going to set up a tub or a bin in the gym for the bazaar next year, for our wedding. So as you see Christmas decorations you don't want, if you'll please donate them, just bring them in and put in one of the tubs in the gym, and we'll put it up for next year's bazaar. Thank you. Patrick.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Spaghetti? Okay. So this Wednesday, Rock City, we're going to have spaghetti instead of breakfast. Any other announcements or prayer requests?
Newsletter. I will probably do the newsletter tomorrow or Tuesday. If you want to thank the newsletter, just email it to the church or email it to me if you have none.
Back to prayer requests. If you would all keep Anne in the prayers, she's traveling through Southeast Asia. And while there's nothing really terrible going on, she keeps running into obstacles and stuff.
Okay. Any others?
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be gathered in your house to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for this season in which we are celebrating the advent of our Lord. For this weekend that we have just shared with family and friends. And Lord, our hearts are truly thankful. And our hearts are filled with warmth and just the joy of time with family. And we ask, Lord, now that you would help us just to open our hearts to you. As we come seeking your face, as we come to worship you and to glorify you, Lord, our desire is that you would have your way in our hearts and lives today. That you would speak your word to us. Your words of truth and grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. And Father, we want to pray for those who have been lifted up at this time, for all those that are on our prayer list. And we ask, Lord God, for your hand of healing, your hand of restoration and power to be upon each one, each of their situations and their personal circumstances, Father. Lord, we pray that, that you be the answer to their prayers right now. Lord, that you be glorified in and through their lives and bring people around them to support them and to help them and to lift them up. And we give you praise and glory, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' holy blessed name. Now help us to pray together that prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Would you please stand and join with me in this morning's call to worship? Christ draws near.
A new day is dawning.
God's kingdom is here.
A new day is dawning.
It's time to wake up.
A new day is dawning.
This morning. Lord, to you alone we lift our souls. In you alone we place our trust. For you alone we wait. For you are the God of our salvation, abounding in mercy and steadfast love. Help us remain alert and watchful for the coming of your promised one, the one who comes with power and glory, the one drawing near to bring our salvation. Please continue prayer of confession and silence. My friends, hear these words of assurance. Our God is a God of mercy, abounding in steadfast love. When we return to the Lord with our whole heart, we are forgiven. Children's message, if any of the children would like to come forward. One, two, maybe.
Like There's so many people here. They're sleeping out back. They're sleeping in the floor. How are you going to have to go get a new straw mat? Because our little girl doesn't have a place to live to sleep tonight. And I better add something to the goat stew. So they got everybody fixed and settled down for the night. And at the time of the dog, he was out there with them. They were sitting at the back of the hotel, the motel. They were sitting there, and they were all content. And they were very thankful and blessed that they had so many customers. God blessed them so much. And they had prayer and were thankful that God had been so good. Well, Hannah, of course, you know, hiring Drifter Dog to sleep, Hannah was still worried. She said, well, I have enough bread and cheese to feed all these people. I've got to think. Do I have enough? Surely I do. Oh, Lord, send some manna so I'll have enough bread for the people. And she laughed. She said, okay, God, that was just a joke. I have enough. But Hezekiah the dog, he started barking, running around. And she said, Hezekiah, what's barking so? He said, bark. And he was just barking, and all of a sudden he looked up. But Hannah looked up, and there were two travelers, a man and a woman. They were very, very tired. And he said, oh, please, can you find a place for us to sleep? My wife is going to have a baby. And we have nothing. We've got to find a place for her. And she said, but we're filled up. We have no one here. We have no place. And then she thought, oh, you can go back to the barn, to the manger. So they were so thankful. So they went back to the barn. And they were excited that they had a place to stay. Hezekiah, he just curled up and laid down beside him. Now there's another person in this story. There's another character in this story. And Hanan stopped. He lived up in the rafters of the barn. And Hanan looked down and he was like, what are all these people doing in the barn? This is for animals. Well, he was spinning webs, and he got so excited, he thought, this is very special. And he says, I see a light in the barn. There's never a light. But this light was telling that there was a special person coming. He got so excited that he wove so many webs. He thought, oh, I'll catch so much food, I can eat forever. There's Pepper the cow. She's looking around and she's saying, what are all these people doing? What is this light in my barn? I don't understand. What's happening? This wicked is a genius story. Because we have hope. And today is our hope day. We have hope that God gives us for the coming of Christ. Say it. Light our candle of hope. Because we have the hope of Jesus Christ. Okay, give me a minute. We're going to sing the baby. Yes. Let me put the props away. We're going to sing, it's number 134 in the hymnal, and the words are very simple. The name is Emmanuel, and that means, it's another name for Jesus, but it means God with us, and that's what all that comforts me. So we're going to, the words are Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, not to destroy the coming of the next part of the story, but God with us, revealed in us, his name is called. So everybody's going to have to help.
Okay. Everybody knows.
Amen.
offertory sentence this morning comes from Psalm 25. With thankful hearts, let us share our gifts out of gratitude for the joy of God's kingdom in our lives. Will the ushers please come forward?
For my friend Jimmy Sharp. He's been on the prayer list for several weeks now. And Monday he had brain surgery. He had a tumor, pretty good sized tumor on his brain. And I was talking to his wife. I went for the surgery. She's a nurse, and she was kind of talking nonchalant that this thing was this big. Well, they were going to have to cut his skull an inch around it. So basically, she said, they're going to take the top of his head off and they're going to just lay it over here. And I thought, well, that's kind of serious to me. It may be every day to you. But I want you to know that he went home Thursday. And they got 100% of the tumor. And so I'm thankful, because I know that thousands, literally thousands of prayer went up for Jimmy. So I'm thankful today to God for Jimmy. Thank you.
members of the covenant, but joining in that special relationship again. You know, we are members. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're members of His church universal. We talk about that in our Apostles' Creed. But us coming together in this place and taking that next step, but, you know, I feel like God is knitting me together with you all. And our response is that we're being knit together with those who are coming. And it's all the purpose of carrying out the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as you all have come today, Alan and Diana, I ask you this question. Do you reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and do you transfer your membership and loyalty to this congregation? And to the congregation, will you all love and support them and join together with them in this work of the gospel ministry?
I will.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise and glory. And we thank you, Father, for this joint occasion, for these lovely people, Father, who love you, who are already involved in leadership in the church. But Father, we ask now that as they come to join the members, that your blessing would just be upon them in a greater way and where it concerns the church and its ministry. And all that that means, Father, in you. And we pray, Father God, that your anointing would be upon each of them and upon us as we have joined together in this covenant relationship. And we thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We welcome you to the service.
This morning I would like for you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And this is the, we're going to be starting with verse 1. This is the season of Advent, and Advent means the coming. It is about the coming of our Lord, his birth into this world. But for us, it's this first candle, as Mary Jo has already spoken, it's a candle of hope. But it's not just a candle of hope, it's also a prophecy candle. And for so many hundreds of years prior to Jesus being born in that manger, it was spoken about. Words were spoken. Little insights, little glimmers of hope that there was a Messiah, a promised Messiah, that He would be coming. And we're going to be looking at a particular scripture today that speaks of Jesus. And in this scripture, as we're looking at this, and we're thinking about hope, the hope for us is not that Jesus is going to be born in the world, but the hope for us, 2,000 years after He's been born into the world, is that He's coming back again. Is that He's coming for us. Is that everything that He did by coming into this world is going to find its culmination. It's going to all come together, and the plan of God is going to unfold. And we will be joined with Him once again. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, to meeting Jesus, to having fellowship with Jesus. We talk about Jesus, and we love Him for everything that we know about Him. But I'm looking forward to seeing the glory of His radiance. Does that sound right? His radiant glory. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus in all of His fullness. Praise God. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. I'm going to have to just stop and talk about this as we go through it. There's a couple of ways that you can look at this first verse. You could look at it and you could say that the shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse was David. You could look at it and say that from his roots a branch will bear fruit, and you could say that, that branch was Jesus. And that the fruit of that branch would be all of us. Everyone who loves him. But then the other way that you can look at it is that the shoot is Jesus. That the stump of Jesse is all of his immediate family, all of his immediate descendants, David included. But that through the course of history, we saw the kingdom being torn away from Solomon, and there was... although the key, the line of David continued, it almost looked like it had vanished away. But Jesus was born from the line of David. And that kingship that God promised that would remain forever continues in Jesus Christ. And so that shoot that comes up from the stump of Jesse appears to be Jesus. That shoot is that little baby that we're talking about. That baby that was born 2,000 years ago. And from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And so the branch then could be the church. And the fruit could be everyone that we reach for Christ. Everything that we do in loving and faithful service to God our Father and toward each other. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, on Jesus. The spirit of wisdom will rest on him. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel and the spirit of power and the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord will rest upon this man. It's pretty clear that we're talking about Jesus. That we're talking about Jesus and his ministry. And all that he will accomplish. We're looking at a scripture that was written so many hundreds of years before Jesus was born into this world. And it tells not only, in just a couple of verses, it tells not only about his birth, but about his ministry. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And so as we continue to read this prophetic word, it takes us immediately to the culmination of the age. To the time when Jesus will come back. To the time when Jesus will come back to judge. And it speaks of his judgment. Of his wrath, of the word of God going forth from his mouth. The judge. We live, and we often like to say that we live in the age of grace. That Jesus came to give us grace. And he did. But when he comes back again, he's coming back to judge. have to answer. Everyone will have to give an account. And there will be no excuses. Not one. I mean, think about it. Think about what we might say for how we lived, for why we didn't love more, for why we didn't have more passion for Christ, for ministry, for why we weren't more part of the things that Christ had for us. What could we possibly say? What would be the proper excuse? How could we stand in His magnificence, in His complete holiness and righteousness? What excuse could you give to someone who was born as a baby, was raised as an infant and a toddler and an adolescent, and went through puberty and teenagerhood and adulthood? What could you say to someone, to a God, the God of the universe, who actually lived as a human being, knows exactly what it's like to live the way we live and struggle through the things that we struggle through? And yet He did it without sin. What excuse 1,000 years from now will we be able to give to Christ when we stand before Him? What excuse will the world be able to give? See, it's one thing to think about what we might say, but think about the world. We are going to sing or hear some 25 to 150 times this season, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." The joy is right now. If we share it, if we tell them, then there will be joy. But if Jesus comes back tomorrow, the world will not experience joy. I want you to know that when Jesus appears again, it's not going to be a joyous occasion for those folks who do not know Him. There's a call to action on the part of the church here. If we really have this hope in us, if we really believe the prophetic word, then there is a ministry that we need to be performing today while we still can. Because people need the joy. And His name is Jesus. Listen to what's about to unfold. Let me read this again. Begin with verse 3. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and He will not judge by what He sees with His eyes, or decide by what He hears with His ears. But with righteousness He will judge the needy. With justice He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth. With the breath of His lips He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be His belt, and faithfulness will be the sash around His waist. You know, when we talk about the return of Jesus, we always talk about how wonderful it's going to be. He's going to split the eastern sky, and we're going to be caught up, the dead are going to be caught up to meet Him in the air, and we're all going to be called up to Jesus, and how joyous it will be. But let me tell you that the prophetic word says that when He returns, He's going to slay the wicked. This hope candle is not a candle that we should keep here in church. When we leave this place today, we need to take this hope candle out into the world, because the world needs to see this candle now. This season. Right now. Verse 6, the wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. A little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I want to tell you about that, but I've got to read you a scripture from Revelation chapter 19. And I want you to look with me at the scripture starting with verse 11. And we're going to end with all this wonderful stuff, where the lion and the lamb lay down together. What a wonderful time. But in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, speaking about Jesus, the scripture says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So John's having this revelation, and he's had a lot of it up to this point. But here in this last part of the revelation that God's given him, he sees Jesus coming on this white horse, and the words written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the army of God is following close behind on white horses, on horses with linen, white linen, and it is a brilliant army. His word, the sword, is coming out of his mouth, and it is his word that's going to slay the wicked. It is everything that we read in Isaiah chapter 11 about Jesus, that shoot of Jesse that will one day judge the wicked. And in this chapter 19, there's a battle that's about to take place. I mean a literal battle. And listen to what he says next, because here comes Jesus and the army of heaven. And verse 17 says, I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried with a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God. Now get that. I mean, listen to what I'm saying here. An angel cries out to all the birds of the air, come and gather. Get ready for this great supper of God. In other words, something is about to go down on planet Earth, and when it's finished, we're going to need your help in cleaning it up. Verse 18, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. So, the beast, the Antichrist, and his false prophet, and all of the kingdoms and nations that they have been able to deceive, all of those people that they have been able to influence to receive the mark of the beast, Verse 20. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he was deluded, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of his mouth, that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Isn't that a wonderful Christmas story? Thank you, preacher. Telling such a beautiful story today. This is scripture. This is not a story. This is about what's going to unfold, what's actually going to happen on planet Earth. You know, we're hoping for peace. We're hoping that somehow world peace will be worked out. And scripture would tell us that there's going to come one who's going to say that he can give world peace. And people are going to follow him. It's an Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit has been working in the world. And he's going to have a false prophet. He's going to do many signs and wonders. People are going to go, this must be God. This must be. Maybe we were wrong about that, Jesus. This must be the Messiah. And many people are going to be deceived, and they're going to follow, and they're going to take this mark of the beast. And then Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to come back with a sword in his mouth. The words of his mouth are going to be like that double two-edged sword, and they're going to pierce. The divided asunder of all the wicked. Everybody that's got the mark of the beast. Going to capture the beast and his false prophet, throw them into the lake of fire. And then everybody else is going to be killed. Guess what? There'll be other people still alive on the earth, because after this, Jesus sets up his 1,000-year reign. Very next chapter says he reigns for 1,000 years. In that period, everything that we read from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 9, the wolf will out of the lamb. Everything will be beautiful. Everything will be wonderful. Jesus will set his kingdom upon this earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
This is the prophetic word. This is why we're so excited and take this opportunity in this time of season, this time of year, to remember the Christ child being born into this earth. Because there is hope. There is hope for eternal life with him. But take full note of this word that I've spoken to you, because it says, we can't leave this candle in this place. There is coming a day when those who are deceived and those who are of the world that have followed after the devices of this world, who followed after the kings of this world, they're going to come to a certain end of destruction by the mouth of our Lord. And the birds of the air are going to have to clean up the mess. But that doesn't have to be for them. Because this message of hope is a message that's meant to be taken out in the world. You and I have a job left to do. This faith that I've been talking to you about, this fiery sword, this sword that's going to cause so much destruction and so many lives are going to be taken, it's not your sword. It's not what's going to happen to you. You're safe. You're okay. Because you love the Lord.
We read last week, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should perish. Everything that Jesus is doing right now is providing an opportunity for every soul to turn. Every person an opportunity to repent. This really is the season of grace. As long as he hasn't come back, it is still the opportunity for his grace to abound in our hearts and lives and in the hearts and lives of those of us. But when he comes back, that grace time will be up. And he will be judged in his judgment. And it will be fair. It'll be right. It'll be holy. And we say, how could God do that? How could God let people that how could he do it? How could he do that? How could he send them to reject them? And I think God's saying, aren't you going to say something? Aren't you going to take my gospel, my message of hope to them? I don't want that judgment for them. But when I come back, I have to bring judgment. It has to be. So take the message of hope to the world now while it's still time. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. And as we sing this closing hymn, maybe we need to consider exactly where we are. What maybe we, maybe the labels we need.